Hey, Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen.
How's it going? How are you today?
I'm good. Ready for some ASMR?
I like it.
I said I was going to get water, but then I got Coke.
Do you know, so like the week that I was home and then the week that I was with you, both you and my sister had like a steady supply of Coke Zero in the fridge. And I have a slight addiction.
I know, me too.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So now I'm jealous of your Coke going on
you
there.
You know, that's what pays to live in an area that, you know, is not cool. We got Costco. It's also close. And I could just get a bulk supply of it. And, you know, Fun. It's definitely not great for you, but it helps in that afternoon slump, you know, when I don't want coffee and I want a little pick-me-up. A little.
There you go. I gotcha. Absolutely. I'm feeling like so sort of like melancholy, but it's like my doing because of the assignments that I gave us, plus like some of the stuff that I want to talk about. I also like, I don't want to go down this craziness too much, but like, I'm feeling insane about the news.
Yeah.
To put it in context, we just got the leak that like almost guarantees that Roe is going to be overturned. And it's something that we've been kind of like staring in the face for a while now, but it feels insane that it's real.
It
feels
does.
Crazy to me that we're like in this wacky universe where it's just like, oh, that law, that thing that was law, nope, no more. We're just going to go ahead and get rid of that.
Yeah.
It just feels insane. And I can't talk about it too much because it makes me want to like set everything on fire.
Yeah. I definitely got agitated majorly this morning. I was like watching my friend's bebe. And I was just trying to play with them and be all like fun. And my boss sent an email saying, hey, if you guys want to, after 3 p.m., go and protest and do whatever you need to do. If you want to take off work, I totally respect that. And I was like, thank you, Christopher. Why? And so because I hadn't seen the news. And I went and just got like so upset while I'm trying to play with this little baby. And I'm just like, I don't understand. It feels like we're trying to push our world back into the dark ages. And why do we, I mean, Mike, you and I are very simply similar in our thinking, but I just don't understand like why someone would do that. Why would they do that? Like they're conservative judges, right? So the leak came out that there was some opinion dissertation thing written that they're going to get rid of Roe versus Wade because it's, why don't they like it?
Because it's not guaranteed in the Constitution. Because nothing in the Constitution says a woman has a right to like it just
to her
wants
own
to go
body
we,
to her
right,
own
100% though. But that is literally what we were talking about last week. That the Constitution was written by rich white men who want to stay in power, and this is part of that. Like in controlling a woman's body, you have control over her. You have power over her.
Is that their reasoning, or is it that they're veiling it with like the Constitution doesn't say that we gotta go by? Like I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
A fairly large. I mean, this is. I'm now not gonna have all the smart words that I wish that I had, but it's an originalist, which is someone who looks at the Constitution and says this original Constitution outlines rights, and if it's not covered in this, then it's not covered. And it's an insane way of thinking. It's completely archaic. It's completely like, I don't know if like obtuse is the right word for it, but it's looking at these couple of things that are written down by rich white men hundreds of years ago and saying, well, they didn't say anything about it in here, so it seems like that's not necessarily a right.
Oh my God.
It's a crazy way of thinking, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
It's an insane way of looking at the law, of thinking like, well, these rich white guys several hundred years ago didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, so I guess it's not that big of a deal. Like it's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I think I just need to figure out who and what and how we can, because this is rage-inducing and so upsetting. I mean, I'm lucky that I live in California, the state of California, because it's going to go down, like, if this happens, then the law will be to the states, I guess. And so there will be some states that will not have access to it. People are going to die. People are going to have babies and poor babies, unwanted children. Nobody's going to help them. The government's not going to help them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you can come to California, you could get, apparently there's something where people are trying to, I don't know if this is going to happen, but you know, where they're going to be like, okay, we'll give you a couple thousand dollars to travel here to be able to do what you need to do. But like, I mean, and that's the thing is we could discuss if we wanted, but I don't really care to, like, why people get abortions. It doesn't matter. But a lot of times it's, all the time it's none of your business. But for a lot of times it has to do with things that you don't think it has to do with. Like, people have this idea of what, so I just, it hurts my heart that people, that women are going to have to go through this. And it pisses me off so deeply, and I don't know what to do.
All of the time, it is none of your business. I love that line. I enjoy that slogan. All of the time, it is none of your business. But that's the truth. I want to swear. I'm so, and I was saying this today. Like, I was raised in a household. I think I've said this on the podcast before. I was raised in a household where we literally had books that showed pictures of, like, aborted fetuses in an effort to drive home how horrific abortion is. Like, I was raised my entire life being anti-choice. That's how I'm going to phrase it, because that's what it is. I became an adult and looked into things and did research and discovered, most importantly, all of the time it is none of your business. If you are not the woman having it or the doctor performing it, it is none of your business. And it makes me crazy that because that monster was elected president and was able to choose three people on the highest court of the land, this is where we are. And on top of that, my other point that I've wanted to make over and over again is, if you're a gay man and you're not terrified by what is happening to women's rights, what I said today was, you can either be, you're ignorant or you're an asshole, and I'll let you choose. You get to choose which one you want to be, but you're one of those two things, because gay rights are founded on women's rights. It's a woman's right to privacy and her own body that gave gay men the right to exist.
God.
Okay. We can talk about happier things too.
I think we off where we needed to start off, though. Okay. This is like, you know, we had to do that because I was like, how do we even... You know, I'm glad we ripped that off, you know, like a Band-Aid. I mean, it's not ripped off, but at least we vented a little. And I'm sure our listeners, I feel like a lot of people share similar beliefs. And so we're with you. I don't know, man. Mm.
Yeah. Once again, I live in New York. I live in a state that's not really going to be affected by it. But you think about the vastness of a state like Texas and how someone having to travel outside of the state of Texas, you can't even do that in a day, usually. Mm-mm. Like, anyways. Okay. Well, we'll probably have to revisit this in the future at some point, but let's move on. I saw a lot of theater last week.
Good. Tell me about it. I want to hear.
So I saw the redone Harry Potter. I had seen it when it was like 7 or 8 hours long and it was two parts, and they've configured it into a solid, it says 3.5 hours. It was about like 3 hours, 15 minutes. I will say they start on time. It turned 7 o'clock and those lights came down. Like, they were not kidding. Like, most Broadway shows, there's a 7 minute grace period. Not Harry Potter. Anyone that wants to go see Harry Potter, be in your seat a minute before it's going to start, because they're not fooling around with it. I really enjoyed it. I think there were things about the shortening of it that made certain aspects more succinct. It made certain aspects a little sweatier. You could tell there were moments in the second act where they were like, whoa, how do we get to the next thing? But still super enjoyable. Like, just technically miraculous. If you get a chance to see it, like, just visually, it's incredible what they do on stage. I also saw a matinee of a play called POTUS, which I talked about a little last week. It was Rachel Dratch, who was so funny. I mean, the cast is loaded. It's Julie White, who, she's not super famous. She's probably best known for either being the friend in Grace Under Fire, which was a sitcom back in the 90s. Yeah. She was like sort of the supporting character in that. And that's how I first got to know her. She's also like the mom in the Transformer movies, I guess, is maybe in pop culture. If you ever get a chance to see her on stage, I've been lucky enough to see her on stage, I think, 4 times. I saw her for her Tony Award winning performance in a play called, oh gosh, now I'm forgetting what it was called. Something to do with a dog, something about, and now I'm terrible. She was so funny. Like, she's so good, and she's basically the lead in this also. But Vanessa Williams is in it. Lily Cooper is in it. She was more of a stage, known for stage. She was in the original Spring Awakening. I'm not saying everyone's name, and I feel bad about that. But it's such a great cast. Hilarious. The first act was so funny. I could not believe how hard I was laughing. The second act was so messy that I was certain it was going to get, like, panned. It has gotten raves from, like, the Times and okay. everything that I've read has given it raves, which I'm happy for it because it's a new play by a young woman. Like I think it's great that we're having this. Anyways, very funny. And then that night I saw a revival of Take Me Out, which I was saying this also last week, that it feels weird because I saw the original mounting of this play, and I think it was 2002, and it's weird that I've been in New York long enough for there to be a revival yeah. of a play that debuted while I've been in New York, and that's going to bring us to our topic later on. I will say that I enjoyed it much more, I think, because in the second act, a crazy thing happens. A plot point happens that the first time that I saw it took me so out of it that I was never able to get back into the action of it, whereas this time, because I knew it was happening, I was able to, like, okay, this let's stay focused and keep going. I really enjoyed it. Jesse Tyler Ferguson plays a character, like sort of a supporting character in it. He's kind of the only non-sports character in the show. And he was so funny. Like, I've enjoyed him from Modern Family and other things That's throughout right, the years. Yeah. But he's so funny in this. So I was really happy for him. I will say a thing happened that I almost don't know how much I want to talk about because it was really, really upsetting. And that is that in the second act, someone interrupted the show, an audience member.
What?
Yeah, twice.
Why?
Once sort of. I don't want to guess too much other than I think they were experiencing something perhaps mental.
Got it.
Because when they came back, the first time they got up really quickly and said something about COVID and then left the theater, and I could hear them calling someone's name in the lobby, and you kind of hoped that was it. But this person came back later and was yelling and was talking about the government surveying his brain. Like, it was really, really upsetting. And they pulled him out, and it was, you know, the actors stopped and left the stage, and there was a brief moment where the lights came up, and then, you know, they came over the loudspeaker saying, you know, the play will resume shortly, and the lights came down, and, you know, the audience
that is
cheered.
Scary.
And it was really, really disturbing. It was really upsetting for so many reasons. One being, I have concern for this person. Like, I hope this person is okay. It also felt very, in the wake of the slap at the Oscars, just felt like another, like, act of violence in a live theater yeah. moment. It was very, very disturbing. And I haven't heard any, I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard more about it since then. But anyways, it was upsetting. It was an upsetting moment in the theater. And the theater is my church. You know, we've talked about this before. Like, and I don't, once again, not to make it all about me, but it was a moment. I don't know.
I would be freaked out, especially what happened in the subway. I mean, you know, it's not that, not to say that some, you know, but people who are deranged often, you know.
And furthermore, he was an usher. Sorry, not to bury the lead, but, like, he had handed me my playbill when I walked into the theater.
Oh, yeah. That is more information. That's very interesting. They're probably trying to keep that quiet.
Probably, yeah. It was a lot. So, anyways, I didn't mean to start and end my week on negative notes. I overall very much enjoyed my time in the theater. I'm seeing more theater this week. I got a ticket to A Strange Loop tomorrow, which I'm so excited. Ooh. It won the Pulitzer Prize a couple years back, and it's I think it was off Broadway. It was also in DC, I want to say, but it's on the Broadway, and I've heard great things about it. So I'm excited to talk about that next week.
Oh, I can't wait.
And there you go. Anything from you this week?
Well,
I feel like I dominated.
You know, no, I appreciate that. I am working on this last week and this week. I am finishing up my job that I've really loved, but it is ending and it's been great. So my week has been very busy of, like, onboarding other people onto some of the things that I worked on. And it's like it's a happy, sad thing. You know, it's the next chapter, but it's also like I'm really, really proud of the work that I did on this project. So, you know, and I really, truly love the people I worked with. So I'm kind of feeling I'm mixed feelings. So this week has been busy. I'm also excited I'm also starting to feel inspired because I know we'll have some time open to do some creative things that I've been working on, to spend energy in places that I have maybe been ignoring. Family. I just complain about them here. But yeah, and I'm also getting very excited to see you in a couple weeks.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, otherwise just struggling to stay sane and balanced as per usual.
Yeah, that's
how
it goes. Anything getting you by? Anything in particular you're digging that's making the journey worth it? Yeah,
yes.
What's up?
Oh my God. Have you watched on Netflix? It's a stand-up. And you guys, I love stand-up so much. And I watch it just voraciously, and it's never give. I feel like I'm chasing the dragon of like Margaret Cho and different people right. that I loved. I mean, Chelsea Peretti. I just love her. Anyways, this woman, her name is Taylor Tomlinson.
I have not heard of it's her, called, I don't think.
Taylor Tomlinson, Look at You is the special, the Netflix special. I love it so much. I love her delivery. I love how smart she is, how vulnerable she is. She talks about finding out that she's bipolar.
I did not grow up in a household that was very like mental health conscious. Like we were very religious. I don't know if you've ever tried to tell your conservative dad that you have a mental health issue. It doesn't go great. When I was in high school, I was like, Dad, I think I'm depressed. And he was like, you just need some protein. Get a scoop of peanut butter. Yeah, there's a lot of dads out there just white-knuckling it through life right now. Clinging to a jar of chunky Jif like it's the answer. Just a buoy in the storm. It'll pass!
It's hilarious. It is, you know, a little sad because she also talks... I'm not spoiling anything because, you know, all of her jokes. But she talks about losing her mom to cancer. But she's so funny. She's so funny. You have to watch this on Netflix. And I just was like, when is she... Is she doing, like, a show? Apparently on the 6th, which that'll be one day after we come live with this. In L.A., for that Netflix is a Joke Fest, she's performing at 7 p.m. on May 6th. And I'm like, how do I find tickets to this? Who's going to watch my kids? I need to see her. I need you to watch it because I want you to know how good she is.
Sweet. I'll definitely check that out.
And then I have like a honorable mention.
Okay.
I don't know about anyone out there. Remember the music video. And I love a good music video. Like, oh, I was telling somebody the other day. I'm not sure if anyone out there has, and Mike, I think I made you watch it or you saw it, Lemonade, which is like a full movie length music video of the entire album of Beyonce's Lemonade, is one of the best things in the world. And I was telling a friend that when I would get a little nervous on the subway, like if it stopped, I had that downloaded to my phone so I could just watch the whole thing. You know, it was my comfort. But anyways, that I digress just a hair. Sorry. This video, it's Tove Lo. I don't know if you know Tove Lo. She sings that one song, like, always need somebody to lean on. Anyways, she's kind of funky. She's definitely Euro. There's this song called No One Dies From Love. And if you watch the official music video, you can find it on YouTube or whatever the Vivo stuff is. It's so weird and fascinating, and I loved it. It's basically about someone who... It's set in the future, and it's about someone who's going through pain over a breakup and gets a certain like kind of robe. I think it's weird, and I love it. I enjoyed it. I feel like you need to see it. It's directed by someone named Alaska. Okay. It was good, but it really gave me those like almost 90s, you know, music video vibes where there's a little bit of a story, and you know they stop to talk for a little bit. It's gotcha. Good. I don't know. I liked it.
That's fun. I'll check it out. I'm going to confess something right here. I have never, ever seen Lemonade at all.
Like my gosh.
I'm the reason why it didn't win the Grammy, because I didn't know how to watch it. You know, it was on HBO for like 3 days, and then you had to get it on Apple. But at the time, I only had like my phone, and I didn't want to watch a thing on my phone. Like, I wanted to watch it on TV. And now I have a connection to Apple on my television set, so I guess
I'll buy it for you, because it's one of my favorite pieces of art that I've ever experienced.
I've always
and
wanted
I mean
to see
that.
It
I'm not
it
even
just
being...
kind of okay all right I'll put that on the list too, because I've always wanted to experience it. But I never even listened to the album because I was told you're supposed to watch it, and I said it as a joke, but I think that I'm the reason. I think people like me, old people like me, are the reason that it didn't win the Grammy, because I didn't know how to consume it.
Well, because so who I won was it?
Adele.
Adele.
It was, yeah, you know, and that was like a powerhouse that year also. Anyways, so there's my confession, but I do want to see it, so I'll figure it out.
I'm going to try to not be mad at you right now, but
okay.
It's fine.
Sorry, I apologize. I apologize. So when you said Netflix, I was like, oh, do we have a double dig in? And we don't, but mine is also Netflix.
Okay.
Did you watch, because the second season just started, and I think it's Netflix, so it's all out. Did you watch Russian Doll?
I watched the first season and I loved it, but I haven't seen the second season yet.
Is it good?
It's so good, Vanya. It's so good. I love it so much. It deals with a concept that makes my brain hurt a little bit, and I won't even say what it is because I don't want to spoil anything. It's so good. I love it. So I'm almost done with it. Like, I've been watching an episode a day, so I think I've watched like 5 of the 7 episodes.
Wow. Mm.
I love it. And on top of that, I love Natasha Lyonne.
Me too.
So much. Like, I'm borderline obsessed with her. Like, I want to watch everything she's ever done.
Yeah.
She's so good. And she's so funny. Like, her line readings, the way that she'll say something, like, knocks me on my ass. I just think that she's so perfectly, uniquely talented. I love her. Yeah. So Russian Doll season 2. If you haven't seen season 1, watch season 1.
Oh, yeah.
It's legitimately 15 episodes all together, seasons 1 and 2. They're actual like 30-minute long episodes, so they're easy to watch. I love this series so much. Yeah. So watch season 2. You're going to be, I think, you'll be super, super into it. Yeah. I love it. And then how about anything you could do without this week?
Yes. It's a very serious topic for me, and I am constantly disgusted by this. So, dog farts. I'm serious. You guys, this dog, I love the dog. I have some, we've imprinted on each other. I don't know, like, he really loves me and I love him. It's probably because I feed him, you know, and I make sure he's okay and all the things. So I'm his favorite. There's no contest here, and I'm just like, please, why? So I'm working and he sits by my feet and his farts are so disgusting that I'm in a meeting and I have to like turn my camera off, turn my sound off and be like, oh God, open windows. And I'm just like, so we did feed him a little bit of human food the other day, and I'm like, I wonder if, is that it? Cause I don't know, but that's it. That's what I could do without that. It is not a great addition to my life. It is not. It makes me disgusted, and it's like, I will take anybody's fart. I mean, I have had 2 infants fart in my face, like full on butthole, like as I'm changing them, fart in my face, and you're like, oh man, this is what parenting is. Okay, I guess. But a dog's fart, it's like rancid.
Oh God,
so gross.
God, so, that turned my stomach a little bit.
I apologize, but that is. I'm just being honest here.
I gotcha. All right. Well, mine, I'm gonna get to it through a little bit of a journey. And first of all, I'm gonna say up front that I saw a movie yesterday that was sort of recommended by a coworker who I like very, very much. And he often listens to this podcast. So
I love you.
Patrick, different Patrick, not the one you should talk about. Patrick, coworker, I'm not mad at you. We'll talk about it in person, I'm sure. I went and saw The Northman last night.
Okay.
It's Alexander Skarsgård and Nicole Kidman and Anya Taylor. Yeah, it's a great cast. And he is correct. It is an auteur's, it is a singular director's vision. It happens to be the person that directed The Witch, which
Oh, you mean that funny comedy? Yeah.
He also directed The Lighthouse, which was very like well regarded, and I get it. He's not my thing. Gotcha. I'm not his audience. It's totally fine. It's super bloody. It's super violent. Like, legitimately, the first half of this film is just people slaughtering each other I couldn't even really figure out why. Like, they set children on fire. Why? Just was like, what is happening here? It ends up actually being like an interesting story that goes places you wouldn't expect. Like, so I'm not dogging it. Like, me reviewing this movie would be like me reviewing like a raw onion. Like, it's just not for me. Like, I understand that there are some that are going to be into it. It's just not for me. That said, that is not what I could do without. What I could do without, and we sort of touched on this with phones in like theaters, like where you see plays and musicals, just people's behavior in movie theaters boggles me sometimes. Like, there was legitimately a row of people that were just talking to each other the entire time. Like, just having full-on conversations the whole time.
Oh, my God.
People, like, getting their phones out and, like, doing... I'm like, what do you... Watch the movie. Like,
yeah, you're
in
not
a movie
in your
theater.
Living room.
It was just very odd. So that's what I could do. Like, just theater etiquette in general. Like, it's just not that hard. You're in a public space with other people. Behave.
Yeah.
That's
Did I tell
all.
You
that's
when
what I could do with that?
I think that's
you kind of talked about it, but please expand.
Well, when I went to the movie theater, it was only, like... Avern and I were watching a fun rom-com in the theater, which was so exciting. And there was really only like 3 other people in theater. And some like middle-aged dude kept getting closer to me. And I was like, am I gonna have to freak out? It was just like, I don't know. I'm always ready because, you know, things happen in this world. So I'm ready to like fight somebody if I'm going to be insulted or something. But anyway, that was such a bummer. I was like, stay in your seat. Don't get close to me. Ugh, hate yeah. you. Hate you.
it can be a little alarming.
Yeah.
So kind of speaking of theater, what I wanted to talk about for our topic, and we can handle this kind of loosely if you yeah. want. But so I moved to New York 22 years ago yesterday.
Wow.
May 2nd, 2000. Yeah. Today is the 22nd anniversary of the first Broadway show that I ever saw, because the day after I got to New York, the next day as I was exploring, I knew that I was going to go to this place called TKTS.
Yep.
And I was going to decide what I wanted to see. And I decided to see a play called Taller Than a Dwarf. And I really was just seeing it because it starred Matthew Broderick and Parker Posey. And I still love Parker Posey, but at the time was like a little obsessed with her. Like,
yeah.
was super excited to see her. It's not a very good play. I mean, like, it had its... There was like one... Like, there's a recurring thing where they're listening to the radio and the radio announcer keeps talking about these poor, sad people who borrow $10,000 from their friend and then, like, make huge fortunes out of it. And
yeah.
we keep hearing this story, and then at one point Parker Posey's character says, who are all these people that have nothing that have friends that can lend them $10,000? And like that was like the funny moment. Anyways, it was at the Longacre Theater, and I kind of wanted to go back and see what's there now, but it's Macbeth with Daniel Craig and you can't get tickets to it. So
oh.
I'm gonna see something else tonight. I'll talk about that next week, but I'll walk by the Longacre and be like, I was in there 22 years ago. Do you know what your first Broadway show was? I know this is very niche.
Yes.
You have to come to New York to see a Broadway show. I don't mean to be exclusive, but
I feel like I may have talked about it before, but it was Sweeney Todd. Or wait,
oh.
hold on. Okay, it was either Sweeney Todd or it was Long Day's Journey Into Night. I think it was Sweeney Todd. That was the first show we saw.
Was that the Michael Cerveris, Patti
yeah.
LuPone,
mm-hmm.
the
where
Insane
they all
Asylum
played their
one?
Own
yeah.
instruments
gotcha.
And sang.
Highly divisive. I personally very much enjoyed it.
I had a blast. I mean, Adam and I were like, we're on Broadway. And we were supposed to see everything that was big that week. It was for our anniversary, or not our anniversary, sorry. It was our honeymoon. We went to New
yeah.
York. And then the next night we saw A Long Day's Journey Into Night, which I always say it was a long journey into the night. And then the next day, the blackout happened, and we weren't
right.
able to see anything else, which I was, you know, I was bummed big time, but
because yeah. you're supposed to see, like, Hairspray, I think?
Hairspray and two or three other shows
yeah.
we were supposed to see. We just didn't get to it. And there, I was like, how are we going to, you know, we never got the ticket money back or anything, because I don't know how to fight for that kind of stuff. I mean, now I might have, but, like, back in my, that was 20, for me, that was 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I saw my first Broadway show 19 years ago.
Wild.
I know.
I always say that, because I saw that Long Day's Journey, and I always say that, and I saw it standing. I did standing room for that.
Mm.
But I always say that it's not so much the Long Day's Journey as it's the night. Like,
yeah.
I feel like those first two acts kind of clip by, and that third act is like, torture.
It really was. I feel bad saying that, because I was so excited to be there. And I was, you know what else I was excited about? Because I'm an actor, or I was an actor, and I'm not a musical singer. So I was just excited to see a play that was like a straight play rather than a musical, which I love musicals so much. I love to watch them. I just can't perform in them. So I was really excited. I'm like, oh, look at this. This could be a possibility to get on Broadway someday. And I was like, nope.
But Vanessa Redgrave was amazing, right?
Oh,
that was the production.
She was incredible.
Yeah, she was.
Remember that one where she, like, at that moment she...
You're going to say exactly what I'm about to say.
Yeah. Where yeah. she starts to claw the wall.
She's literally clawing at the scenery at one point, and it was genius.
It was wild.
It was amazing. Like, I want to say the second act ends, like, it was amazing.
It is. It was
yeah.
into
I
the...
I love that sticks in your mind,
emission.
Too.
Before an emission.
Yeah, I love that. Also, random memory about that play. So I saw it standing, and oh my gosh, I almost can't tell this story, but Eddie Izzard was in the audience, and the woman, oh gosh, I feel so bad, but he was doing a play, or he had just done Day and the Death of Joe Egg, and I had seen that, and I can't think of the woman's name, but they were both so brilliant, and they were both at that performance, and I remember kind of like being like, I'm going to find a way to like say something on the way out, and then as the third act was starting, they hadn't returned to their seats, and I was like, oh, what a bummer, and as the lights came down, they entered, but instead of then going to like interrupt the audience to get to their seats, they stood right next to me.
Oh my god.
And now I was like, oh my gosh, it's so perfect. like, we're gonna have a moment, and yeah, like, we're gonna see this third act together, and then I'm gonna like eye contact and be like, you're both amazing. And like, literally, like, the third act ended and they like ran out of the theater.
You're like,
and I was like, I wanted to like apply anyway, so I didn't just say anything. But there's my random long day's journey story. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well, that's fun. Do you have anything random for us?
It's a random story that I just found out yesterday. So you guys know I have to talk about my kids at some point. But so my daughter is playing softball. It's pretty intense, and she's never played before, so she's learning. And there's one head coach, and there's two or three, you know, little side coaches or whatever. And so my daughter, I guess they had a bad practice the one before. So the first couple practices, it was nothing but butterflies and happiness. Like, you guys are amazing. But then I guess by third practice, then they start to give them, you know, notes and different things like that. And so coach, we'll call him Coach Carter. We'll call him Coach Carter. He says, you know, you guys, last practice was horrible. And this is where we're going to improve, yada, yada. And then my daughter goes, you're mean, like in front of everybody. And I guess this coach kind of got a little pissed, but which I think is whatever. I mean, they're 8-year-olds, you know, 7 to 8-year-olds. And then the head coach, who is she's honestly, this woman is brilliant. I think she's going to be, anyway, she's amazing. But she goes, you know, he's just being honest. There are things we need to improve on. So we have to know what we have to improve on before we can get better. And so then the next practice happens and Coach Carter starts off on his rant again, and my daughter goes, oh no, before he even goes on his rant, sorry, she goes, are you gonna be honest with us today, Coach Carter? Which I'm like, I think that's hilarious, but apparently he did not think it was funny at all. Are you gonna be honest with us today? I was like, that's my baby. But she's so funny.
That's really good.
I know. I was like, oh, she's getting props for, because that's some comedy gold, man. She's a smart kid.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I like it.
How about you?
Hilarious.
Anything random from you?
Yeah, two kind of random things. One, it's just so funny looking at this ticket to this first Broadway show that I saw, because I have such a memory of going to the TKTS booth and knowing that things were 50% off there. And this ticket was only $32.50, which is insane to me because that's so inexpensive now. But I remember at the time not knowing how expensive Broadway was. And the guy said, that's going to be $32.50. And I said back to him, you mean half of that? Because I just didn't have a concept that, like,
right, sure,
of how expensive tickets were. And of course, that's now nothing. I also wrote something that and it's not great. I wrote this when I was like 23 years old. And I just found it. And I kind of wanted to read, and it's about moving to New York. So I'll read this.
Read
I haven't
it.
Polished
read
it at all. So it's not
read
the most, you know, yeah, it's not the most poetic writing. But I wrote, I always wanted to move to New York City. I'm originally from Washington, the state, not the capital, the east side, not Seattle. From there, I moved to Atlanta, where I spent 13 months of my life doing nothing in particular and loving it. But I knew the time to move on had come. I drove up from Atlanta in a U-Haul. I had never been to New York. I knew only one person, though to call them a friend would be pushing it. Virtual stranger is more on the mark. It took 3 days to drive from what had been a temporary home to what I hoped would be permanence. I was on the New Jersey Turnpike, a sight I had seen only in movies, television, print, and my dreams began to rise in the distance. There's definitely something about that first view, the first time you see those impossibly tall buildings rising out of the skyline. There it was. I could see the city. I was nearing the city. I was passing the city. I think I went too far. I'm looking for the Lincoln Tunnel. I had known it wouldn't be easy, and those damn maps you get off the internet never explain things properly. I'll just follow the signs, through the tunnel, two signs ahead, both blank. Shit. Which way am I supposed to go? I veer left and then turn right. 42nd Street, midday, 10-foot truck. Heart beating very quickly. That was my introduction to Manhattan. And you can't pull over to get directions in Manhattan. It occurred to me that I could just drive around until I died. I rolled down the window. Which way to Flushing? A woman looks at me like I'm crazy, and I guess I am. You take a right, you take another right, and you take the 59th Street Bridge. My life was in the back of that truck. My future was incredibly uncertain. I drive through a mythical and enormous place called Queens, and I'm certain I am, once again, going in the wrong direction. And then in front of me, the most beautiful sight I've ever seen. A giant U-Haul sign in the sky beckons me forth like the gates of heaven. And that strange metallic smell of Flushing will always remind me of that first day. So I haven't been to Flushing in a long time. I don't even remember, like, the metallic. I almost want to go back and, like, inhale the air. But I remember that day so clearly. Like, I remember getting out of the U-Haul and being like, I'm going to live here. I'm going to live here forever, I think. Anyway, so that's early New York memories.
Did you live in Flushing when you first moved, or that's where the U-Haul?
I didn't, and people, that's where the U-Haul was. And people are always like, why did you choose that U-Haul? But I didn't know anything about New York. I didn't realize that Flushing is like an hour away from Manhattan, where I was eventually going to go. I just knew that it was a U-Haul that had a storage. That's all that I was looking for at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I put all my stuff in storage, and then, yeah. Anyways, just thought I'd read a little of that early New York experience. It's made me very...
It's great.
You know, I don't want to say... sad, but you know, there's a certain thing about those early days and those things you do when you're in your early 20s that you look back and you're like, I guess I'm glad I did that then. I would like to harness some of that energy. That's still in me somewhere, right?
Absolutely. You know, I remember the sense of wonder that would always wash over me as we lived there. I mean, for years, I was like, I can't believe I live here. This is the best place, you know. Yeah. I remember them. I'm sure, you know, it's as we age, things, maybe that feeling's a little bit more subtle, but we can hone it and grow it. Like,
it's in there somewhere. Yeah. It's in there somewhere. It was interesting looking through all this stuff. Anyways, we can wrap up, but I, you know,
I
say this every week, but I love that I get to talk to you every week. I love that we get to have this experience. And I really, I don't know if it sounds silly, but I'm so appreciative of anyone listening.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I have people that we have people that like write or that send us lovely messages, and it really if no one was listening, I would still want to be doing this, but the fact that we have people that respond is really, it's
absolutely
really heartwarming to me.
I mean, a listener who I didn't realize had sent a message is a nurse, and she also has kids who have asthma, and she was telling me, because I, you know, I mentioned that, sorry, now I'm just continuing on,
I
mentioned that you know, it's always worse at night, and it's so scary when the asthma's happening. And she had said that asthma is affected by the circadian rhythm. So that makes so much sense why that's happening. Anyways, so thank you out there for that message. I was like, oh, thank you. Oh, my God. Anyways.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That's awesome.
We do love y'all.
So thanks everyone. Yeah, I really do appreciate it. And I love you, Vanya. And
I love you, Mike Jensen.
We'll talk more next week. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. Let's talk real fast off the record.
Yes.